You're going to make more noise than that for them sorry Panthers. I mean, for our Panthers, our dear beloved Panthers. Make some noise for Jesus. Come on. Amen. Amen. Hey, y'all, today I want to talk to you on this topic, and it's something I'm departing from our series today just to talk with you because I knew our children would be in here, but what we're talking about is so important for young and adults, and if you'll get this, your life will change radically, all right? I want to talk to you today on this topic on Christmas service. Jesus wants to be your BFF, your best friend forever. How many in here got a best friend? Let me see. Sinead, you better put your hand up, girl, if I ain't your best friend. Oh, you're watching the workers and all that. Amen. Let me see who's got a best friend. If you're married, you better have your hand up. Come on, somebody. Amen, amen. Yes, we all want a best friend. We all need a best friend. And today I want to talk to you that Jesus wants to be your best friend. Turn in your Bible. I love this passage right here. I watch it on Charlie Brown every year. Luke chapter 2, y'all seen this in Luke? I want to show you why most people as believers, most believers get stuck only knowing Jesus one way, and that's his Savior. God wants you to know him, and Jesus wants you to know him as a best friend. As a best friend. But look at this passage right here in Luke. Remember this? Little Linus said this on Charlie Brown. He said, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood." Remember how he said it? "Before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." Next. "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" Say all people. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a" who? "A Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." Did you notice how he announced Jesus? He announced Jesus as a Savior. A Savior. A Savior is awesome. We all need a Savior. We all need a Savior to avoid hell. And a Savior is even more than that. Think about this in terms of if you were swimming. If you were swimming, you don't even need a friend. You just need a Savior. Come on, somebody, and you were about to drown. If you're swimming and you're about to drown, you need a what? It doesn't even have to be your friend. Just someone who saves you out of trouble. If you're in a burning house, isn't that right? And the house is on fire, you need someone to save you from that fire. And for many people, that's the extent that they know Jesus. He came as a Savior to save you from destruction, to save you from hell, to save you even perhaps from drug addiction or alcoholism or some destruction in your life. But the Bible lets us know that that's just the very beginning of this relationship with God. And the truth of the matter is, if you don't get past knowing him as Savior, you'll make it to heaven, but chances are you'll have hell here on earth. Come on, somebody. And which is the case of many, I would venture to say, most believers don't really know Jesus beyond Savior. And so they struggle in life and struggle in their finances, struggle in their relationship. And it's really hard to tell the difference between a person who's just knows Jesus as their Savior and someone who doesn't know them as their Savior. Are y'all listening to me in this place? God wrapped up all his love, all his favor, all his goodness, all his mercy, his kindness, his healing, his abundance, his joy, his power, his wisdom, his peace, and sent it from heaven to earth in a body of a baby named Jesus. Unfortunately, though, most who know him only know him as Savior, but we can grow in our relationship with Jesus from Savior to friend. And that's what I want to talk to you today real quickly. We've been working on a series on regular Sundays, and I'll get back to it next Sunday, and I hope that you'll be here. But we found this passage in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus sharing a parable in Matthew and Luke about foundations and just teaching about foundations. And if you have the right foundation in life, your life can stand the test in life, the storms in life. How many of y'all have lived long enough to see some storms in life? Yeah, this whole parable is a metaphor for life. And it starts out like this in Matthew chapter 7. And it's in Luke chapter 6 as well. But Matthew chapter 7, I'm just going to read the first three verses. Jesus says this: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day," and he's talking about judgment day, "'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name?' And then Jesus says, 'I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Of course, and then he goes into the parable about building your life on the foundation of Jesus and on the principles of Jesus, on the life of Jesus. But what's most important that is oftentimes missed, that as a believer, he wants us to build our life off of a relationship with him, knowing him, not just Savior, but a friendship. And Jesus really wants to be your best friend. We found out from studying this passage on Sundays, we've been studying this, that in John chapter 17 is Jesus' high priestly prayer. It's when he's getting ready to go to the cross. He's been with the disciples at the Last Supper, and chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 of John are all Jesus at the Last Supper. And then he goes out into the Garden of Gethsemane in chapter 17, and he's praying to his heavenly Father. And look what he says in these three verses. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him." And this is eternal life. He gives definition to what eternal life is. That they may what? Know you. Everybody together, say it. That they may what? Even in the back, everybody say it. That they may the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. Now, this is awesome revelation, because here Jesus tells us what eternal life is. Eternal life is not living eternally. Eternal life is knowing Jesus. Every human being is going to live eternally somewhere, because we are spirit. We possess a soul and we live in a body. And human spirits will live eternally. If you don't know Jesus, you'll live eternally in hell, the lake of fire. The Bible says that's not good news. But he says here at the judgment day that many people come up and say, "Well, I did this, I did that, I did that." He said, "But I never knew you." In other words, they never really got saved. They went through motions, but their life never changed, because they never had a relationship with Jesus. Hit the person next to you and say, "I need a relationship with Jesus." And that's what we've been studying on Sundays, and I won't go into the details of it today, but I do want you to know that that word "know," it's a word in the Greek that means that is gnosko, but it means this: knowing God is to be in union with him, having an intimate, loving, personal relationship that results in bearing fruit. It's the same word that's used throughout the Bible when it says something like this. It'll say Adam knew Eve and bore a son named Seth. And it talks about Mary. She said, "Well, how can this be that I'm pregnant, having never known a man?" It's that same word. And so the word "know" is used throughout the scriptures as this idiom for sexual relationship between a husband and wife. Are you with me? That brings about fruit. So what God is saying is, I want to know you and have an intimate relationship with you, a friendship with you, where you start bearing fruit in your spirit. You start bearing fruit of peace. You start bearing the fruit of joy. You start bearing the fruit of prosperity. Because of this intimate relationship with Jesus, Jesus is letting us know that our life will really change and bear good fruit. And that's why we're here in the earth, to bear this good fruit. Many believers are waiting, trying to go up to heaven, when God is trying to bring heaven down to them. God is trying to get heaven in you so that you can be a walking billboard for the kingdom of God. And that's what Christianity is. It's not about going up. It really is about growing up and producing and bearing fruit. Come on, somebody. Because believe it or not, the world is really lost. This generation that's coming up will not know right from wrong if nobody represents the kingdom of heaven. They will not know. You'll still hear, you'll continue to hear kids walking into schools and shooting teachers and shooting kids, because they don't know right from wrong. But we're in the earth to bear fruit of God in the earth, so they know what good is, what right and wrong is. Come on, somebody. And the sad indictment is, on this Christmas morning, that many believers don't know the difference. Many believers are more discipled by the world and the culture than Christ and the Word. Hit the person next to you. Say, it sounds like he's talking about somebody up in this place. Oh, yeah, it's true. So Jesus, we saw it there. He said, I never knew you, but he wants to know you, and that means being in an intimate relationship with you. Let me show you in the scriptures, and then we're going to go get some ham or some turkey or some chicken or maybe some Italian. Come on, somebody. Look over in Proverbs chapter 18. They'll put it up here on the screen for you. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. Let me tell you this. My life changed so radically as a result of having Jesus as a personal friend. It's such a close friendship. When my life had gotten really off track and messed up, I went through a divorce several years ago, decades ago, and my life was just really starting over. And I was born again, even going through that divorce. Are y'all with me? But when I became an intimate friend with Jesus, not only did he get me in a great marriage with my best friend sitting over there on the front row, but it changed my whole life, my career. God knows everything about you, why he created you. He has the very hairs on your head numbered. There's nobody that knows you like Jesus. Nobody else that knows why you're here in the earth, what he's put you here to do. He knows exactly what's going to bring you joy, peace, happiness, fulfillment. And most people live even as a born-again believer and never become an intimate friend with him. Let's look what the Bible says here. Look in Proverbs 18, verse 24. In fact, just yesterday, I mean, from the big things to the small, I would have never guessed that this would be my life today. I would never have guessed that my life would be as blessed as it is. I would never have guessed that I would have seen, would be able to see as much as the world have I've seen. I would never guess that my life would be this productive and bearing fruit. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on the friendship that Jesus wants to have with each of us. Just yesterday, I was practicing. We did that song. I love that song, by the way, Pastor Al, that Christmas song that we did. And I couldn't tell some of the chords. I couldn't hear it. You know, I was listening to it. But then I always think about my best friend, Jesus. You know how to play guitar. Lord, help me. What is he doing on here? Help me. And I do that weekly. Just help me with this, or help me with my career, or help me with this mess. He's a friend that sticks closer than any brother. In fact, here, look what the Bible says here in Proverbs 18, 24. This is the Passion Translation, which I'm falling in love with. It says, some friendships don't last for long. Anybody figure that out? Come on, anybody ever had your heart broken before? Come on, somebody. Anybody break anybody's heart before? Okay, yeah, look at it. Yes, I've broken a few. Some friendships don't last long, but there is, look at this, one loving friend who is joined to your heart closer than any other. The Bible's showing us here that Jesus wants to be this friend that sticks closer to, than anyone. He'll lead you. If you want to be married and you're not, Jesus will be the friend that shows you how to get that mate that you're supposed, that you desire. Oh, it's quiet in this Presbyterian Catholic church. Where's my, praise the Lord. Anybody need anything in life yet? Am I the only one? Okay, some of y'all not raising your hand. Let me see. Okay, the way you'll get that is with this friendship with Jesus. If you're saved, you're saved. You need this, a deeper friendship with him. If you're not saved, you need a Savior and a friendship with him. Amen? All right, look, go to my next passage. Look at this. Look at this in James chapter 2. James, the half-brother of Jesus, writes something here about Moses, about Abraham's friendship. Remember Abraham? It says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he, Abraham, was called the what? Think about this. The friend of God, he changed history. A friend of God can change history. A friend of God, he started a whole, in fact, he was the first Jew. God called him a Jew. I'm going to raise a whole nation from you. Come on, how many of you would like to see your generations change because of your friendship with God? This is what this is showing us. His friendship changed the whole world. Are y'all with me? Here, let's look at another one. Look over in, I think Exodus. What's my next passage? Yeah, Exodus chapter 3. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to who? His friend. Moses had such a relationship with God that he spoke with him face to face. And if you read through this account in Exodus, you'll see that God told him to come up to the mountain, but everybody else stay away from it. He had such a friendship with him that he spoke to him like a friend face to face. How many of you know that he too changed the world? Isn't this interesting? This friendship with God caused him to be a deliverer to a whole people that God had had another friend and created a whole people. One man's a friend of God and God creates his people. Another, the next one that it says is a friend of God and he delivers that whole people. Friendship with God is guaranteed to change your life and your family's life. Come on, this is good for kids and anybody else. You need a friend in your marriage that can help you navigate through the challenges of marriage. You need a friend in raising children that will help you navigate raising children. Anybody need a friend in your career that can help you navigate successfully through the challenges of life? Or y'all just happy with being broke? Come on, somebody. Anybody need a friend that can help you navigate through some challenges of health and sickness and disease? Come on, somebody. God knows how to help you lose that 20 pounds. God knows how to help you get rid of that cancer. God knows how to help you get rid of that challenge, whatever is facing you right now. Come on, somebody. Anybody need a friend like Jesus? You know the song I want to sing, that one we used to sing at my old church. What a friend. You know the one, don't you? Amen. Let's look at another one. I wanted to let you hear what Jesus said about it. Then we're going to go home. Watch this. John chapter 15. I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. Look, here's Jesus again in these chapters. In John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, it's Jesus knowing the day before he's going to be crucified, and he begins to share his heart. He begins to just talk from his heart. Come on, do y'all get how important that is? The creator of the world who's come to earth to give his life for mankind, on his deathbed, the day before he's going to be crucified, begins to pour out his heart to his disciples. Look what he says. Just a few lines. We won't read all of it, but just look at a few lines here. In chapter 15, I'm going to read from the Passion Translation again. He goes, I love each. Take this personally, by the way. Take this very personally. Don't just see it as words on the page of a book. Unless these words on the page of the Bible jump off the page and get into your heart and become reality, your life will never change. But when you take it as God personally talking to you, telling you this personally, it will change your life forever. Watch this. I love each of you. Just put your name right there where it says you. With the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love. Mm-hmm. Just as I've kept my Father's commands, for I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. Do you hear what this friendship did to Jesus? With the Father, it empowered him. Did you see it? It will do the same thing for you. My purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. I'm telling you, Christians need this. It is amazing the number of believers I see that are... All it does is tell me they don't have real relationship with Jesus. There is no way. He just described there. My purpose for telling you about how much I love you is so that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. Now, I know it. Let's be real. Life every day ain't gonna be like you're on the top of the roller coaster. But if you walk in every day like you're Slep Rock on the Flintstones. Y'all remember Slep Rock? Like everybody's picking on me, everything's bad, nothing's working out for me. You don't know who Jesus really is as a friend, even though you may be saved. You can be saved sitting in church every week and still not know Jesus personally. This year, I'm going to help you to know him personally. And next week is where I'm going to continue my message on the six things that's going to really help you to know him personally and him to know you personally. Watch this. Verse 12. So this is my command. Love each other deeply as much as I've loved you. How many of you know you can't love anybody else unless you get this love from him? Come on, you can jump from church to church, from marriage to marriage. You can keep going everywhere you go. But if this ain't getting right, you're going to keep on jumping from spouse to spouse, job to job. Come on, have y'all figured it out in life yet? Love each other. Okay. For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. Ooh. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends. Watch this. Next. You show that you're my intimate friends when you obey all that I command you. Hit the person next to you, say, we ought to do what God says. Watch this. I've never called you servants. Stop calling each other servants of God. Because a master doesn't confide in his servants, and servants don't always understand what the master is doing. But I call you my most intimate friends, for I reveal to you everything that I've heard from my Father. Next. Go to the next. Yeah. You didn't choose. Oh, come on. This is a good one right here. You didn't choose me, but I've chosen and commissioned you to go into the world and to do what? The way you bear fruit is through intimacy with him, producing the same way Shanae bore fruit, my seed, was through intimacy. Is that all right with your kids sitting next to you? And the way you're going to bear the fruit of your career, the fruit of joy, the fruit of gladness. Come on, there's many believers that struggle in life the whole way to heaven. And they shouldn't. That's not the way God created. Your marriage shouldn't be all jacked up, tore up from the floor up. Your household, your finances, everything is supposed to be blessed as a believer. Now, that doesn't mean that every day is going to be on the mountaintop. But come on, somebody. It needs to be a lot better than what it is. Hit the person next to you. Say, I'm going to get this. I'm going to get this. 2020 is my decade. I am not going to live the same way in 2020 that I lived in 2019. That same sickness ain't going to bother me in 2020. That same broke is not going to get me down. And that same jacked up relationship, these kids, that I'm going to have some change in 2020. Push the person that's asleep right next to you and say, you too, you need some change too. Look what Jesus says. I love this. You didn't choose me, but I chosen and commissioned you to go into the world and bear fruit. And your fruit will last because whatever you ask my Father for my sake, he will give it to you. What is he talking about? Relationship with him. Go to the next. So this is my parting command. Love one another deeply. Can I show you this in the chapter right before? Go to chapter 14. Yeah, chapter 14, verse 12. I tell you this timeless truth. Jesus talking. I tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do. What? What? Even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. And that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to him. God said, if you're intimate with me, you're going to be doing what I do and even greater miracles. Come on, somebody. I think we all can say we all could use a closer relationship. Come on, somebody. This is not about condemnation. This is just about seeing reality of where we are and where we can be. How many of y'all want to walk closer with him and see some of the miraculous power of Jesus in your household? Come on, you will want to see it if you had cancer in your household. You definitely want to see it if you're unemployed. You'll definitely want to see it if you've got a child that's messed up. If you've got a family member that's messed up, you want to know this. Come on, somebody. Ask me anything in my name and I will do it for you. Next. Loving me empowers you to obey my commands. Oh, this relationship empowers us to obey his commands. And I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me. Look at this friendship. He will never leave you, divorce you, talk about you negatively, cheat on you, lie on you. Come on, somebody. Look at this. The world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him. But you know him intimately because he remains with you and will live inside of you. Jesus telling him, I'm your friend now, but the Holy Spirit's going to live in you and be that same friend. But watch this. I promise that I will never leave you helpless. Come on, somebody. What friend can say that? I'll never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans. I will come back to you. Go on. Is that the, yeah. Verse 21. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. He says that three or four times. Whoever passionately loves me, watch this, will be passionately loved by my Father, and I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you. Listen to me, young people. for your career, in school. Jesus wants to help you with your homework, with your career, every aspect of your life, young person. A friendship and a real relationship with him will guide you through everything in life where you can avoid the pitfalls like your mom, your mother, and father went through. You can avoid many of those pitfalls through a real relationship. And that's going to be my goal this year, to make sure that you really know him. And that's going to be the goal of the children's ministry, the high school ministry. We want to make sure that you really know him, and that's called being a disciple. Come on, somebody. Then one of the disciples, say disciples, named Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "Lord, why is it that you only reveal your identity to us and not to everyone?" Next. Jesus replied, "Loving me empowers you to obey my word, and my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make you our dwelling place. But those who don't love me will not obey my words. The Father did not send me to speak on my own revelation, but the words of my Father." Verse 26, "But when the Father sends the Spirit of holiness, the one like me who sets you free," how many of y'all want to be set free? From broke, from sick, from an addiction, come on, from some habit that's destructive, come on. Look at this. "The one who sets you free, he will teach you all things." How many of you realize there's something I need to know about my career? Something I need to know more about marriage, or something I need to know more about life that I know I don't know. Some of y'all not raising your hand. Come on, y'all. That's the first problem right there. If we don't know, we don't know. Come on, somebody. He said he's going to teach you all things. Anything you need to know. I know. I wanted to know, "Lord, what am I supposed to do?" And I got the answer in 2020. For 2020, I'm going to be revealing how we're going to get what God has for us. It's through discipleship. Are y'all ready? Good God, I'm so grateful for that. "This is great. I teach you all things." And he will inspire you to remember every word that I've told you. Is that the last one? Verse 27. I leave the gift of peace with you. I explained this on Wednesday. My peace. Watch this. Not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. Come on, how many of y'all could use some more of that? His peace. It's not affected by anything that goes in the world, by anything that goes on in the world. Don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. Let me show you this last passage, and then we're going home. Watch this. Matthew chapter 16. Jesus asked the disciples a question. Look at this. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, I've been there, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Who do they say that he is? Are they saying he's a savior? Or are they saying he's a friend? Who are they? What are they saying? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. That's what people are saying about you. Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Who do you say I am? Simon Peter, the most buck wild of the disciples. The one who tried to cut somebody's head off for arresting Jesus. The one that rebuked Jesus and said, "No, you ain't going to the cross." Jesus said, "I got to die." He said, "You ain't going to die." And he said, "Get behind me, Satan." He said, No, my name is Peter. He said, "What you just said is the devil, though." This is Peter. Watch what Simon Peter answered. "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Watch this. Jesus replied, "You're blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are," watch this, "when you know him and know who he really is, he tells you who you are." "Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock." Now, if you read this in the Greek, and you have to come back at another time when I can break all this down to you, but that when he said Peter, it means a small stone. But he said, "But upon this rock of revelation of knowing who Jesus is, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell cannot conquer it." Whoa. when you begin to know who he really is and he tells you who you are, there's nothing that can come against you that can conquer you, church. When you know him intimately and you know him as friend, you know him as Lord, you know him more than just Savior, just who got you out of the trouble of hell. But you know him as your teacher. You know him as your friend. You know him as your marriage counselor. The Bible in Isaiah 9 says he's a counselor, the mighty God. He wants to be this counselor that helps you with your finances. Anybody need a financial counselor that owns everything? If you're getting your financial advice from broke people, hello. If you're getting your marriage advice from people that ain't never been married, Oprah, come on. I love Oprah, don't hate. But don't tell me about marriage, Oprah. Y'all mad at that? Too bad. Look at the next one. When you know who he is and he begins to reveal to you who you are, guess what happens? And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. He said, when you know who I am and I tell you who you are, first of all, there's nothing that can conquer you. The gates of hell cannot prevail against you, and you get a set of keys. Anybody got some keys? Hurry, Bob. Okay. Praise the Lord. Bob just gave me his keys. If I go out in the back of the lot, I can pull away with anything he has. Here's his house. Jesus said, when you know who I am and I know who you are, I give you the keys. Healing is yours. Prosperity is yours. Joy is yours. Everything that God has is yours. Come on, you just don't give the keys to the house to everybody. You give them to your intimate friends. You can't give the keys to your house to the people down with the bad A kids. Come on, somebody. Like, we going on vacation. Their kids is listening like, cool. No, God gives the keys to the kingdom of heaven to his intimate friends who love him and have a real relationship with him. That's what we need in 2020. You need breakthrough in your marriage. You need breakthrough in your finances. You need breakthrough in your children. You need breakthrough in your career. You need breakthrough. And God says, I've got the keys, and it comes through relationship. Stand up on your feet and give God a big old shout of praise in this place.